Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and I'd like to introduce our host of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another installment of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today. I'm really looking forward to this one. We have with us John DeLiva. He is the president and CEO of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, George. Thank you for having me on. I'm terrific. Thanks.
No problem. I think almost exactly a year ago that we had you on the show, something very close to that anyway. What a difference a year makes.
Absolutely. we just came through this Memorial Day weekend, and with the mask mandate being dropped, we had the best Memorial Day three-day weekend we've ever had in history. We've got the new museum, $21 million investment that we've made. Every square inch is new, so we are ready to roll this summer, and all signals point to a very strong tourism season.
All right, talk some more about Memorial Day weekend. I know the restrictions came off. We're in something called a new normal. You and I talked recently. I think you were really chomping at the bit here. I know that you were probably thinking about August 1st, but maybe in the back of your mind, I think you and a lot of other people thought the governor would move that date up. Some people were fully ready for May 29th. Some people weren't. You sound like you were in that fully ready, lower the flag and let's go.
Yeah. I mean, so the weekend was great, but you know, the weather helped as well. I mean, it was not a great weather weekend for us. So people, I think, were looking for one, things to do. And then when they figured out the weather wasn't going to cooperate, they looked for things that could be done inside. So the Hall of Fame fit the bill very, very nicely. But, you know, kind of as we were adaptive in terms of meeting and exceeding COVID requirements by being open, we opened in July 8th. Last year, with a whole bunch of protocols, we were able to kind of ramp down at that same speed and be ready. You know, we have a sign posted that says if you're fully vaccinated, no need to wear a mask. If you're not, you know, it's kind of up to you. And if you feel sick, we'd like you to come back on a different day. We're still doing the sanitation inside the building. We're doing the spraying. We're giving each person in center court a numbered ball, and that's the only ball they should be playing with. And we clean those after they're utilized. We have opened some hands-on exhibits, and we have people that basically chase every visiting party and give a good wipe down to those. But we're not requiring masks. And this is a place where, you know, people break a sweat. So, you know, being able to take that mask off and take part in the activities we have here, especially at center court, I think is very, very important to our guests. And we're getting great reviews. I mean, we've got a brand new Kobe Bryant exhibit that was helped designed by Kobe's widow, Vanessa Bryant, and she posted on social media and got 17 million immediate likes to it. So that certainly has helped the Hall of Fame message. And our new museum experience. And we've got a new TNT inside the NBA set where visitors can immerse themselves with Charles Barkley and Kenny and Shaq and Ernie and do a recording and send it to your phone so you can share it with your friends on social. And just everything is new. I mean, it's great. So, you know, the pandemic is over. And the good news is we've got a brand new museum. It's something that people haven't seen. It's something to experience, and we've got some really high-end, high-interest exhibits that are kind of leading the way.
Yeah. As much as you probably don't want to, let's go back a year or just over a year, 15 months ago, just the stark contrast between this year and last. Last year was a year where everything kind of just, the rug just came right out, the Hall of Fame, the pandemic. Of course, the hall had to close for a little while. You had a commemorative coin that really could never get off the ground. We had Hooplandia. It just seemed like everything fell apart. Now, a year later, all those pieces are coming back, most of them anyway.
Yeah, we've been fortunate in that regard. I mean, 2020 was going to be the year of years for the Hall of Fame. And we had this great enshrinement class that would have happened in late August 2020. commemorative coin that was going to be launched in April at the Final Four. Of course, the Final Four was canceled last year and be promoted through the NBA season. The NBA season didn't happen last spring. And the economy tanked, so coin collectors we didn't do as well as we thought we would with that. The museum was ready to open last summer, but obviously we slowed that down because of the closure for several months. We even had a game, we have many games around the country that carry the Hall of Fame brand and frankly, are a fundraiser for the Hall of Fame. We had one scheduled in December for London at the O2 Center, Michigan versus Kentucky. So a lot of great things were happening in 2020. And as you say, they just kind of ground to a halt. But the good news is, with the exception of the commemorative coin, which was a 2020 project, everything else is happening or will happen. So 2020 enshrinement happened a couple of weekends ago. It was very successful. We announced our class of 21, and that will take place in the weekend after Labor Day. That'll be back up here in Springfield at the MassMutual Center. The game in London will be played. It will be in December of 2022. And we've got a great series of games this fall happening as well. So it's kind of back to normal. And we've been able to kind of recapture everything with the exception of the commemorative coin. It's worked out very well for us. We're fortunate in that regard is that we were able to reschedule games and be able to flex a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Talk about numbers for a few minutes, if you will. I go back to 2019, the last, quote, normal year we had. What visitation was then? That was before some of the new aspects of the museum opened. But what are we looking at? You've been open for several months in 2021 already. Looks like the numbers are better. What are you projecting for the rest of the year, and what are your numbers looking like now?
Sure. Well, we run about 220,000 visitors a year on a run rate, if you did prior to the pandemic and again, prior to totally refurbishing the museum. We did on our financial plan this year, we were very cautious because we didn't know, one, when mask mandates and other mandates would be lifted. We didn't know if COVID would come back with a vengeance and shut us down for a while. So we planned actually to be less than that. And we are, I would consider kind of being open just at the end of May and the summer season, thankfully, is our busy season. So we're going to hit it very nicely. I think the real test will be the calendar year 2022, but I think we'll be coming close to that 200,000 number, if not exceeding that, in what I would call a shortened season. I also note that, our per cap is higher. We're not discounting tickets because of the new museum. And we're finding that no one has a concern about that because of the value that we're offering with the new exhibits and the immersive technology that we have. And I think people are looking for things to do. And things are more expensive these days. And so, we may not get the same number of people, and we might indeed get the same number of people, we're seeing a higher per cap. So financially, I think we're going to be in good stead for admissions this year. And another part of the business that's important to us is facility rentals, where weddings and bar mitzvahs and corporate events happen here at the hall. We've got awesome new technology to apply. I think we're probably the best business theater site in Western Mass, Northern Connecticut by far. And that business is beginning to show some real interest. People coming back and wanting to reunite their employees. They want to have a kickoff event. They want to have some team building, which the Hall of Fame leads itself to very well in terms of, doing things within the museum, that working as a team and getting things accomplished, that kind of stuff. So we're seeing bookings for that happening right now and happening during the summer, which is unusual for business bookings like that. But into the fall, for sure, it's picking up. So, just kind of getting back to normal, knock on wood.
Okay. So looks like a lot of things are coming together nicely. You've got new exhibits. You've got some pent-up demand. You've also got a summer when people are anxious to do things, but a lot of people are just not going to be able to do that. The Cape is like, if you don't have a place on the Cape now, you're probably not going to get one. And it's the same for Maine and some of these other places. So day tripping looks like it's going to be a real solid option for people. Is that what you're hearing? Is that what you're seeing already?
Yes, I feel I'm one of those people that didn't book the Cape because of, we were in flux a little bit on our two and Triton dates. So my place, the place that I rent is gone. I booked in September. After the second enshrinement this year. But I think that's right. I mean, if you don't have a place now, you're probably shut out. And some people, you know, may not be comfortable going to one location for a week. But I think the day trip and the fact that, you know, we've got a new museum experience, Six Flags really was closed all last year. So there's going to be pent up demand there along with further investment. I'm understanding that the casino had a really, really great weekend last weekend. So that, you know, it's kind of all piecing together. So I think we make a nice day or 2 day or 3 day destination. And I know the Convention and Visitors Bureau is working very hard on promoting Western Mass as a safe, you know, kind of a comfortable location where people can spread out. Yet there are so many things to do. So I think you're right on about the day tripping and we're absolutely going to invest and promote for those folks that are in the area and looking for things to do throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about how you get the word out about the Hall of Fame and what audiences you're looking for. I know you're probably going to be aggressive with marketing this year. I always tell a story going back, boy, I think it was 50 years ago when the Hall of Fame was still located in Springfield College. I had cousins out from the Boston area. Visiting our family and they were out for a couple of days and they said, let's go visit the Basketball Hall of Fame. And the three of us kind of looked at each other and go, the what? Yeah, the Basketball Hall of Fame is right here in Springfield, Massachusetts. And we said, well, we didn't know that. So I imagine as most people know about the Basketball Hall of Fame now, it's much more visible. You know, back when it was at Springfield College, it was in like a very small area, like on the second floor of a building. It was kind of like in the attic. But there's still probably a lot of people in this region that haven't been to the Hall of Fame. Does your marketing include aggressive penetration in this area, outside it, both? How does that work?
Yeah, so, you know, your observation is correct. I think people in this area kind of know the Hall of Fame is here, first of all. And those that are engaged will visit. I think people also assume that they will get to the Hall of Fame when someone comes to town or some special event is happening. And I find that with the other museums and halls of fame that we deal with is that the local community, you know, it's not 100% penetration in terms of people coming where you think it might be, you know, approaching that. But our marketing is going to be both local and we're drawing about a 70-mile radius around Springfield. Targeting Boston and Providence and the Hartford into New Haven and the, you know, Westchester area of New York into Albany, Worcester, obviously, and really, you know, utilizing a lot of social media. And also we'll be looking at some billboards and potentially considering some television ads. So I think this year we will spend probably with the new museum. I mean, we're not going to build a new museum for $21 million and not tell people about it. I would think that we're going to double our spend on advertising, and we've been under $100,000 for many years. And I think we'll be in that $175,000-$200,000 range, including promoting the site as a facility rental for business and community events and family events.
Mm-hmm. Let me phrase this next question appropriately. When it comes to challenges, financial difficulties, the hall is no stranger to those. You're battle tested, if you will. Did that help you during the pandemic? I don't know how much being battle tested would help anybody during the pandemic, but it seemed like you've been through so many of these. It was really nothing new, probably a little more challenging.
Yeah, we seem to have built-in body armor. That's for sure. We've been... You know, when we first opened this place in 2002, we were very short on cash, and you know, we have a brand new museum with no gas in the gas tank, so we had to deal with that issue for a couple of years, and then things started to ramp up. It was kind of like the little engine that could, and then 2008 hit, and we went back to square one, and then we were, you know, really kind of building a very successful capital campaign from 2015 to 2018. Which really helped us weather the storm of COVID. But yeah, we've got a staff here that is battle tested. You know, I've got a great CFO that I worked with at Spalding before here. We have a good relationship and a great understanding of each other and the financial disciplines that are appropriate. I would say that, you know, we've been taught to be fighters in that regard. And I think the first thing we didn't do when COVID hit was panic, because we have seen this movie before, right? And so, you know, as I think I told you maybe on the previous podcast we did, you know, we kind of managed our cash flow, the cash that we had, to glide all the way through 2021, if indeed we were just closed, never mind being able to open or being able to have one or two enshrinements in 2021. So we prepared for the worst. And what it means now is that we have been open for the year with a reduced crowd of people. We have reduced expenses. And now that things are turning at just the right time for us, summertime, we are in a good spot. So that worst case scenario of having to glide all the way through with the cash in the bank has changed. We are strengthening. The capital campaign gave us the ability to do that because there was surplus raised over the amount we invested in the museum. So, maybe, you know, good luck and timing, but also I think that being able to know that we've done this before and that it is, you know, like I say, we've seen the movie before and we know how it ends. And in this case, it ends well.
Well, I hope this one really does end well for you. It looks like 2021 is shaping up to be the year that 2020 wasn't.
Yeah. We're very encouraged by that. I mean, again, we've been able to recapture so much of what we weren't able to do in 2020 and be able to either move things forward do them, you know, like the enshrinement a couple of weeks ago. And now just 14 weeks later, we're going to have a enshrinement 2021 up here in Springfield. Those are obviously, you know, enshrinement's our largest fundraiser of the year. So having two of those did in 2021 is a great thing. And again, I'm so bullish on the attendance this summer. And then we head into the fall with these wonderful basketball games with so many top ranked teams around the country: San Francisco, Los Angeles, Brooklyn, Mohegan Sun. It's bright. Let's just hope that any sign of a pandemic comeback is well behind us. And that's our, you know, we're planning for that for sure. And we've got our feet completely on the accelerator and ready to take advantage of this opening and really make it a great year.
Okay. What's that phrase they use in your sport? Rebound.
Yes. Yeah. What was the, I think, it was a coach from Tennessee that said offense sells tickets, defense win games, rebounds win championships. Pat Summitt said that. So
there you go.
Rebounds win championships, right?
Well, have a great rebound this year.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming on the podcast again. We'll have to have you back in a few months and see how the summer went for you. I know you gained.
I look forward to my report card.
There you go. You gained all of July and June, and I know those are important months for you. So good luck to you again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you to all of you for tuning in. This has been another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. Come join us next time. Again, thank you. I'm George O'Brien, editor of Business West Magazine. We'll see you next time.